Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. We've got Don here.
I'm here.
Ava's here.
I'm here as well.
And I'm here. I'm Eric, and I'm the host. And we are glad, really glad to have you with us. We've got a ton of cool stories coming up today. We're going to talk a little bit about fall fishing and what to do to get your bite on and get your live well full. We're going to talk NWT update. We've got the final what resolution came to be with the discussion we've had the last couple weeks. And we're going to talk a little bit about deer hunting. So all those things and more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hello, Donald.
Howdy.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Envious. That's all I can say. Ava, good to see you.
Yeah, he's been enjoying a retirement, I'd say. How many times have you been up to Canada now?
This year?
This year.
Just 3 weeks.
Just. That's a key four-letter word we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah, maybe more in the future.
Yeah.
Try to fit it in.
Yeah, well, don't let us stop you.
Yeah. I won't.
Oh, man. Don.
I'm sure things are just fine when I'm gone.
So you and I had chatted off air, and you were up at, as the saying goes, L-O-W, Lake of the Woods.
Lake of the Woods, yes, I was.
And one thing that is known to happen in fall, you can have beautiful, warm weather, and Mother Nature will slap you in the face one morning when you walk outside and said, not so fast.
Yeah.
We're going to drop the hammer.
Yeah.
And so you had a little bit of a temperature variance. How much was the temperature drop when you were up there?
Oh, I'm guessing it was probably at least 15 degrees. I mean, overnight.
For highs?
The highs were up in the 65 to 72 range, I think. But about the third day of our trip, then the overnight dropped. And it kind of warmed up during the day, but the water temperature dropped is what I noticed. And,
yeah.
And that tends to damper the fishing a little bit. But there were some big crappies caught, 15 and a half, some of the guys that were up there with us. And walleye was good. Had more trouble finding those under 18 inches, several of them over throughout the week. Sometimes, I mean, we had doubles on at one point. We had two overs on.
That's no fun.
Yeah. You get the net. No, you get the net.
How big is yours? Mine's bigger than yours, so yeah.
Just get the net.
Yeah.
But we landed both of them. Those that were 17 and under, there's a lot of year classes coming up in Lake of the Woods.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
It's a good sign. I think... you know, it's always a topic that comes up in the Lake of the Woods conversation because it is fished hard. It is fished very hard.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. We're the part of the Lake of the Woods that I go in. We don't see a lot of boats.
No, but again, they swim and
they do.
Your overall base will be impacted with that number of fishermen. And it's not just summer. It's winter.
Yes.
As well. So you've got a lot of different things going on at the same time, and you really have to consider that, and you know, when you're looking at the overall fishing. And surprisingly enough, it's been pretty good. I know we're up in summer, we're gonna go again in a couple of weeks. And the part I like about fall, and it kind of rolls into our conversation, a tip that we were talking about, is
the diversity many times of the baits that you can fish with and play with and be successful
yep.
is much broader. So give your example that you were.
Well, I mean, it's my son was with me in my boat. We started out, he was using a Colorado. We're using bottom bouncers, by the way, and he was using a Colorado blade, and we were using gulp, 3.5 inch. He actually went to 4-inch gulp and was actually picking up some nice crappies on a 4-inch gulp. They're pretty aggressive when they're doing that.
So you had a bottom bouncer. How long was your leader?
My leaders run anywhere from 36 to 48 inches, typically. I think you can use shorter. I did have one that was shorter that I was using. I mean, it didn't seem to affect it by not being longer. But I went from I was using an Indiana blade, and I went to a prop on the last day because fishing slowed up a bit for a couple of days because of the drop in the temperature. And then once I started using that prop rig, which is it's just a little like a little airplane propeller.
And was it the metal one or was it the...
No, it was the
Mylar?
Max.
Which one?
Is it Mac?
Yeah, the Mac looks like a little wing.
Yes, it looks basically more like a wing. And they spin really, really easy. You can troll down if you need to.
You can troll to about 0.9 and they will still go and they will not sink.
I was actually going 0.8 and it was working fine.
No, you can run it really, really slow and that's a big advantage. Anything slower than that, you really need to, in my world, I'll run a floater at about 0.6.
Yeah.
But then I'm able to go with a regular pencil sinker, so I hold the bait down.
Right.
So it's two things in this situation. Without a floater, I run the bouncer to keep the bait up, and I run probably 28 inches maybe,
yep.
maybe 30. I don't go ever any longer than that.
Really?
And one of the reasons I do is that the sink rate, when you're looking at a certain speed, it's going to sink and be pretty close to the bottom, not on the rock, but enough because I surge the bait a lot as well. I'll pull it forward,
sure.
and drop it back.
Sure.
But what I found too is, Don, you know, when you're looking at the blades, which I played with, when I won the tourney in Oahu and I took a third place, I think it was, on Devil's Lake, literally back to back, I used a very small blade.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a finesse thing with slow death.
Right.
So you can combine the two. Then I was like, you know what? Last time we were up at Lake of the Woods, I said, let me try the big Mac blade, and the action that it put into it, because it just it moves that worm all over the place.
Right.
You're only using, you know, half a crawler, so that triggered the fish as well. So I think a lot of times it really comes into fall, try your jigging wraps, try your ripping wraps, try your jigs with big plastics, and I'm talking big, like 5-inch plastics, and you would be absolutely stunned when you upscale. Those big fish take note, and they jump into the mix, and they're like, okay, because I don't care about keeping. At this time of year, if I'm going up there, I like to catch some big fish and play with the bigger techniques, and then, you know, you start the rivalry. You're going with the other guys in the other boats. It's like, how was your big today? Oh, we got 5 over 28. What? So
right.
It makes it a lot of fun, and they're not too fun to catch either, so. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be coming back. We're going to talk a little bit with the NWT update, what happened on the tournament issue we talked about the last couple of weeks. A little bit talk about deer stands as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Good to have you still with us, hanging in there. We've got always that we want to mention. Check us out on Facebook and where else, Don?
The Valley Outdoors.
The Valley Outdoors. A lot of cool places to check out all over the United States. And if you want to go someplace, you're going to be able to find info on any state you want, and you're going to get that info right there, right on our website, thevalleyoutdoors.com. If you got any cool pictures, feel free, send them in.
We'll post them.
Facebook, yeah, or the website too. Yep, info at thevalleyoutdoors, I think is what it is, .com.
Yeah.
So feel free to send those things in. We'd love to see those pictures. Those of you guys out in Green Bay, let's see those big fish coming out. They're going to be feed bag on, I know that for a fact. So.
Well, there's a lot of hunting going on too right now.
Lots
you
of
know, elk hunts going on out west.
And, yep. A lot of big things going on. If you're going out west, I would highly advise contacting the area you're going to. I've heard three or four stories now where one can, two can, three cans of bear spray is not enough, and some serious encounters with some grizzlies.
Ooh, we'll have to follow that.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. And, yeah, kind of concerning. So, Don, you were out last week.
I was.
You weren't with us. We had a follow-up story to the situation that was involving a tournament, the National Walleye Tour, that I've fished for many, many years and will be fishing again. And what had happened was in Sault Ste. Marie, there's an area that you could fish in Canada. And I think you were here for one of the conversations
yep.
we had.
2 weeks ago.
Yep. And what ended up happening was there was a rule violation in that you cannot party fish, meaning if you catch in an area you're only limited to four fish, you can catch two. Your co-angler can catch two, but you can't catch all the fish.
Correct.
So in this situation, the angler is Max Wilson. He was in Canadian waters. He had contacted the DNR to find out about the where to he could fish and not fish, but did not understand the no party fishing rule.
Okay.
As well as the fact that he caught five fish in that Canadian area, and as far as we know, that again, that would have been a rule violation.
Yes.
So, found out that...
actually, the rule is, because I did some reading up on that, from 2 weeks ago, you can catch five fish. You can only retain two of them in possession.
Oh, right. Yeah, catch them, throw them back.
Right.
Yeah. In this particular case, he caught all five on day two in
for
that
the,
area.
For the weigh-in.
For the weigh-in.
Yeah. Now that's a violation.
So apparently Max indicated that from these Canadian guys that four fish of any size were allowed, eight total for the boat, but that's not the case. So he caught five fish, three of which would have been deemed not
legal.
So it was a rule violation. Based on the rule violations and the rules and regulations stated by the NWT, rule number 17, if you violate this particular rule, you can be and probably will be in the field of disqualification.
Okay.
So the part that it was frustrating for most of the anglers, and I'm getting phone calls, that's the reason I'm taking the time to do this. My phone has been ringing off the hook. After a full investigation, the NWT determined there was no ill intent or purposeful illegal activity. That is what's really throwing everybody for a loop, and it's really frustrating. The rule is there. He illegally caught fish. He caught three fish that should not have been weighed, period. Previous day, he also had fish in the area. Not sure what fish had been caught or not caught. His co-angler never caught one of them the whole day.
Either day? Or just the
I know
second
day? You show for sure the second day.
Okay.
He didn't catch anything.
Okay.
And he said, well, I offered. And he said, it doesn't matter whether you offered or not. You can't party fish. So what they eventually did, they just removed 6.4 pounds out of the limit, which it should have been. Three of the biggest fish should have been pulled from his limit. And I say that's not even the case. It should have been a full DQ. He should have been not allowed to participate. Once in day two, he should have been done. You're DQ'd. You violated the rule, especially you're in another country. You violated it. Isaac Lakich, he also had a fine to pay, but the fine ended up being he was fined $6,500. And the part that was really frustrating, I think, a lot of the anglers, there's a photo of him flipping off the camera.
Ooh.
Top 10 anglers. There's no room for that ever. And it wasn't intentional, he said. Well, I'm sorry. I just don't have time for that. I apologize if I'm being harsh. For those of you guys that are friends with them, that's fine. This is my view on a tournament, angling, and how people need to be represented in that environment. People look up to those anglers. And when they see that, when kids see that, and when people that want to fish it see that, it immediately turns them off.
So that being said, how did he end up in the standings for the tournament?
He won the tournament.
He won the tournament?
Yeah, so...
I thought John Hoyer did.
Hang on. So there's two things. The Sault Ste. Marie tournament where he was fined.
Oh, gotcha.
That's $6,500. The other tournament, he ended up in seventh place, I believe.
In the championship.
Won. Yeah. And he was fined there because of the other, but then he was also fined because of the obscene gesture, which is rule number 9, which also can be a grounds for disqualification. The phone calls I'm getting right now from anglers that have participated in it, not people that are non-participants, but people that are in it, I have to agree, there is no room for this. It should not be supported. It should not be, a fine is not valid. Hit it where, look, if you make this rule violation, it is a rule violation. It's not an unintentional.
I guess, I mean, I have no idea all of the conversation that probably went on there, but I have to believe, because I've been at many of these tournaments where there's the rules meeting prior to the tournament, and I have to believe that that was covered in the rules meeting.
Everything was covered as far
so
as...
So if you're not paying attention, I mean, and from what, if I recall, you're required to be there as a participant.
Yeah, you're there.
At the rules meet. You're required to be there. So he had to have been there. And if he didn't understand the rules and then violated it.
The key here, Don, is you are responsible to know the rules of that body of water.
That's my point.
They're not going to cover every single innuendo, piece, part, or whatever. They're not.
Well, that's pretty obvious one, though.
Yeah. Especially if you're fishing Canada, you should know and should be attuned to that particular piece of information.
And the interesting part of all of this conversation is that applies to the average day angler.
Anybody.
Yes, I mean, I'll be honest, I learned something here.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I hope people do know, and they learn from, hey, you need to realize you need to catch your own fish. But I think the biggest thing here is in the frustration level for all the anglers that were there and the people that watch is that he came away from that event and won. There was a position change. Corey Heiser moved from third to second place. Isaac Lakich moved down to third, but Max still maintained. And I think it should have been, unfortunately, sorry to say for Isaac, because I believe it may have been unintentional for him as well, but it doesn't matter at this point. It is in the tournament angling. If you break that rule, whatever that rule may be, it is a violation. It is a DQ. There's no way around it. And you cannot, and basically.
So they still awarded him first place, huh?
They gave him first place. Well, wow. Here's the part that was frustrating, Don. He didn't say anything about it until.
The championship.
It was already done, and they were at the championship. He's already slotted to be in the championship. Now they're in a crossroads. They have to make a decision quickly. And they just said, well, we're going to fine him, which is absolutely not what it says in the rules. The same thing holds true with the violation within the obscene gesture. And it was a double bird, by the way. So, I mean, to me.
It wasn't accidental.
That's not accidental. That's not even. They had to retake the photo, pull the photo down, and everybody's talking about it. So, yeah, it was frustrating. I just want to make sure we cleared it up and gave everybody the heads up with it. Move on to the next year. Positivity. Let's keep it on the up and up. And I think everybody will be better for that scenario. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. More Valley Outdoors.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world.
Whoa.
So, Donald, the coolness in the air that you experienced up in Canada.
Yeah, well, you know what's happening in Canada? The leaves are turning already, and it is starting here.
Let's go through a couple of the key things you want to look for. Obviously, safety check. Broken welds is a big one. If you've got that going on, you can't be comfortable in your stand. If you look at it and you say, you get in, well, that looks a little bad, but I'll be all right. That's not the case. However high up you are, not the case. If you need to, bring it to everybody's got a welder in town, somebody that does that kind of thing. Bring it in and have them re-weld it. It doesn't take but, you know, a day, drop it off, and they can weld it up, no problem. In fact, probably make it better than it was originally. And that stops squeaks. It's one of the big things. So make sure you check it. The other thing is, too, checking the bolts, the bolt connection points, the cables, and the cable connection points, and the chain, and where those are connected. Because invariably, if you have you could have a brand new bolt or something that's got a plastic fitting on it, so it won't squeak, the plastic fittings will crack. You know that. As soon as that happens, forget it. You're done. So that's a problem. The fastening straps, as you said, Ava, those are a big issue. You get rot, mildew, or the fraying that goes on because they get into the sun. You know, the black nylon, they're not black nylon anymore.
Well, they're not meant to be left either.
Nope.
You know, if you just take them down with you, you'll avoid all these issues.
And by the way, red squirrels, personal experience,
they
eat everything.
They're awful little things.
They eat everything, including car parts, pieces, wire, and everything else. So
they're lucky they're
your
cute.
Vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, my vehicle and my only vehicle.
You gotta quit
so
putting peanut butter on all them hoses.
Right. No, they've got enough with the coating already. They can have a dinner on that. The other thing is you look at attachments. So if you've taken your stand off, look at the ratchet, because the worst time to get out there and have a problem is you're all the way out to the deer stand location. You're going to put it up. You get up there and you try and work the ratchet and it doesn't work. They don't last forever.
Lubricate them.
Spray them down. Even at the end of the season, especially at the beginning of the season, you get them up in the stand. Give it time, but spray it with a WD-40. I know scent is everything, but that's one of those things you need to make sure that you take care of and really not have a issue with it. So make sure you deal with those things as well. Last but not least, the silent tweaks. What do you want to do? What do you want to do to keep when you're in the stand? So you crawl into the stand the first time. What's one of those things that you notice every time you step into a stand?
My stands are bigger. I don't crawl up one of those tree stands.
Well,
so I can't honestly tell you.
When you're standing in the stand, you move your feet, you get a squeak. Generally, it's going to squeak. Sometimes, because it's wire or otherwise, you'll get a squeak.
Right.
bring a piece of carpet, bring something, whatever that might be, that you can lay on top of it or fasten with zip ties so that it'll stay. You don't have to worry about that uncomfortable squeaking that goes on when you move your feet. And I think that's really
a good tip.
A big thing. The other thing that's a big one now is the big blinds, the big fiber blinds, plastic.
Right.
Make sure you take those, the hinges there, the door, the windows. You're going to have a window on it. Make sure the window slide is not full of dirt. Make sure it's lubricated and easily open, as well as not making sound. Because as you know, bad things happen when you have small amount of sound.
Yep.
It could really shoot it right out the window. So that's, I think, one of the biggest issues that comes into play when you're dealing with that preseason prep. And again, if you've got a stand built in the woods, make sure that you check that before you climb up.
Check for bees too, by the way.
No, that's the other big one. Check for hornets, because you get into those stands and they'll get in there. Mm-hmm. You won't know it. You're just standing there, and all of a sudden you hear this.
Oh, they like those deer stands.
Ooh, I never thought of that.
You look behind you, and all of a sudden it's like, how do I get out of this situation?
So I sat in mine with my camera this summer, and I got attacked by a grasshopper. How a grasshopper got all the way up there, I don't know.
They fly.
Oh, my gosh. He was big, and he came for me.
Wow.
He had to die.
All right. That's next week's story.
You hurt him.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to hurt me. It was him or me.
Yeah.
So you think you want a deer stand, do you? I got news for you, says Mr. Grasshopper.
Goodness.
Well, let's hope you don't have a grasshopper event in your deer stand. Hope you guys all have a fantastic weekend. For Ava, Don, and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. Have a beautiful weekend. See ya.